Champagne King?
No, that's Cheryl Lynn.
Cheryl Lynn. But Evelyn Champagne King, what was her big hit?
Shame.
It was kind of same melody.
Hey, look, they both sound
wrong again, Bill.
Close enough. They're both females. Now listen. Now Trev brings up a good point. So for you youngsters out there, before we move on here, we just want to draw a few analogies so you have a sense. So when we talk about a Jim Thorpe, you're talking about what's the brother that you're talking about? A Bo Jackson type, a guy that could do multiple sports especially well. When you talk about Chamberlain, that's your Shaq of today.
And even Bo Jackson is kind of in the past as well. A lot of people might not be familiar with Bo Jackson
well. Yeah, and the D-back from Atlanta,
Deion
Sanders was a Jim Thorpe type, could probably do anything. So our comparison, when you get a bunch of old guys in the room, they're going to talk old. But when you talk about LeBron is probably the greatest basketball player in the world today. However, and this is not an argument we need to have right now.
Well, don't bring it up, Bill.
Well, but I'm going to offer.
Keep it moving.
And I'm going to offer this. He probably doesn't fall in my top five. He might land five. But I go Chamberlain, Jordan, Julius Irvin, Bill Russell, and Kobe. No, Kareem, you're right. Kobe's going to have to fall out of six. Yeah, Kareem's. As a matter of fact,
give me the five again.
Let me redo it. But let me just tell you this. You know, we all make the mistake we make when somebody asks you to name the greatest basketball player of all time or your top five. We all always forget Kareem.
No, we don't.
And Kareem is probably the greatest basketball player of all time, bar none. And if you go statistically, there's no comparison. There's no comparison.
Give me your five again, Bill.
All right, I'm going to do it over again. Chamberlain. Kareem. I put Chamberlain ahead of Kareem because of his physical dominance. Jordan, Irving, and Russell.
So who's going to handle the ball?
Well, I'm just naming greatest players of all time, not a great team.
Got you.
Now, who do you have? Your five greatest.
Let's keep it moving. You said you didn't want to get too
bogged down. Laps again? You can't put five.
No, not at all. Well, you wanted to keep it moving.
Well, I was looking. So anyway, we're just giving the youngsters some reference points as to – so LeBron, greatest player of our era. Tracy McGrady could have been one of the greatest ever. Kobe, the references in that regard. Barry Bonds in baseball.
Yeah.
Well, who do we have today, baseball-wise, like presently today?
You got that Stanton guy that's hitting home runs out
for
of his mind.
For the Yankees,
out
five times.
Most home run hitters do, though.
Trout is the best. Mike Trout for right the now. Angels as well, and I think he's leading the major leagues now with seven home
runs.
There's
a guy from Washington that's pretty good,
don't
too.
Don't forget that guy who's pitching and also hitting home runs.
Shohei Ohtani.
Right.
Yeah, Shohei Ohtani.
How many home runs does he have so far?
He has
three. Three home runs.
He's the real deal.
He's the real deal. When he don't pitch, he pinch hits.
That's amazing.
He has three home runs, okay?
Struck out 12 yesterday.
has an ERA of 2.08.
Jeez.
Okay? Who's the last guy that played like that?
Babe Ruth.
There you go.
Okay, so, but to get back to what we were talking about basketball-wise.
Can I interrupt for a second? Babe Ruth, maybe, but there was a guy that was from Cuba named Martin DeHigo that might have been the greatest player to ever put on a baseball uniform. Wow. Martin DeHigo won over 400 games pitching.
For who?
He played for the Homestead Grays. He played for the Pittsburgh Crawfords.
Okay.
And he was brought here to the city by Cumberland Posey. Tom Posey that used to coach. Homestead Grays. And the reason why he was able to go, my grandfather, who was a Negro League star, Willis Moody, him, Josh Gibson, Satchel Paige, they were on their way to Cuba to play an exhibition game, and they stopped in Florida. So there was a team from Cuba playing in Florida, and DeHigo played. Well, DeHigo beat Satchel Paige in a game, 1-0. Then he pitched the second game and won it 2-1. Also hit 3 home runs in the game. Martin DeHigo, see, this is something that I think young people need to see. Things like the Negro League. See, what happened in the past that made the players today.
Yeah,
Martin DeHigo might be the greatest player ever. I tell you, one thing that upset me the most was something that Barry Bonds said, and I think Barry Bonds is the greatest player ever. You take attitude and everything away, Barry Bonds is the greatest player.
In baseball ever?
In baseball ever.
I'm a huge Barry Bonds fan, and I disagree with that.
Okay.
Well, who's when your greatest ever?
When they walk you with the bases loaded right. with two outs.
You're a bad man.
You're a bad man.
You're a bad man.
In Major League Baseball, it's probably Babe Ruth. In Major League Baseball.
Oh, come on.
Okay, it's probably Babe Ruth. I'm a huge Barry Bonds fan.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
he's my number one pirate, number one current, you know, within the last 30 years, baseball player. You got to remember, too, arguably, when Barry Bonds was at his peak, arguably, he wasn't even the best player in baseball at that time. You got to remember Ken Griffey Jr. was tearing up the league as well. So a lot of people had Ken Griffey Jr. better than Barry Bonds.
But
I disagree.
Overall, if you're segmenting, but Moody's saying all time.
And again, if you take a look at somebody like Babe Ruth, and I believe in old school mm-hmm. players, I believe that you have to provide multiple functions when you play. So Shohei Ohtani now, he pitches and he plays the field. That's old school. Mm-hmm. Same thing if you go back to football. Think about it, if you were able to have a quarterback and a punter like it used to be back in the 70s,
okay,
like
really
a Ray
drifting,
guy.
You're really drifting left on me right now.
Well, I'm just giving you examples.
Well, we don't agree with your example.
Okay, but if I can
– Moody.
Of course you don't disagree.
We agree that
or
Barry
Of course
Bonds,
you don't agree.
And it goes without saying that Babe Ruth didn't play against blacks.
Well, you asked me the question.
But I mean, you're allowed to have your pick.
You know, Babe Ruth, just a thought. I was raised in an orphanage.
That's right.
Some mm-hmm. people, because of his features,
right.
said
exactly.
he might have been
exactly.
Ty Cobb said that.
For sure.
Ty Cobb said that.
For sure. And again, Bill, you're talking about statistics, and the only reason I brought up those examples because Babe Ruth, he pitched as well as he was an everyday player, and Barry Bonds did
that
not do that.
Be the greatest, though.
But when you do it at the highest level possible, you should be considered. It doesn't make you the greatest, but he asked me who was my favorite.
Well, hold that thought while I acknowledge
my best player.
Soul Take Champions Live coming to you from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Got a roundtable thing going on here, and it's good like that. And hopefully we are educating some of you young folks on what happened before the era that you're in, before the smartphone and the all the 999 channels you have to choose from. But we also want to remind you that Soul Take Champions Live is brought to you in part by the new Pittsburgh Courier, the United States of America's oldest black publication. And we also want to take this opportunity to send out best wishes to Alan Lincoln, the mastermind behind this whole operation. Home playing a little bit of checkers, so we'll leave it at that. But Alan, get well soon, and everybody is hoping and praying for you that all things are better the next day than they were the day before. What, Kev?
Now, I know we got into basketball as well.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I'm not sure if I'm missing something or not, but didn't Grant Hill just make it or get a nomination? Not a nomination, but he's going into the Basketball Hall of Fame. Is that correct? I believe that's the case.
He's being nominated?
No, he's in.
He's been inducted?
He's in.
Now, doesn't anybody
I'm not sure what I missed, but I didn't look at Grant Hill as a Hall of Famer.
Not at all. No. Now that, you and I agree on that.
Right.
And I like Grant Hill.
I do, too.
He's a good player.
I do, too.
But I don't remember him being Hall of Fame status.
No.
Nor for those people.
Don't say
Mochi. No. For those people who love Tracy McGrady, I don't love Tracy McGrady like that. I know he could have been. But, no, I agree with you. Grant Hill, okay. I didn't see. But he's going in.
He's going in.
Grant Hill gets all the postmarks for being the kind of person, and not knocking him, it was good to be that way, that they can cherish and love and like. He represents what they feel we should be like and act, smile, and like it.
Yeah,
he did that. I'm not knocking him. He's doing what you have to do.
It's probably part of it.
Marketing.
there's a lot
and
of
he married to me.
Yeah, I think he covered it quite smoothly.
Yeah.
But look, let's take the opportunity since Craig Smith was
and he went to Duke, right?
Yeah,
he went to Duke.
There you go.
Yeah,
and. That means a whole lot, but did you know, I believe he's the only, he will be the only Duke player in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
That's correct.
Wow.
Now, are you sure of that?
I'm positive. Wow. Didn't you hear the same thing, Rock?
I heard the same thing.
Amazing.
That is amazing.
I heard the same thing.
Because one would think Dick Groke.
Right.
His name was mentioned as well.
Be in the NBA Hall of Fame.
Now, Dick Groke. Who is Dick Groh?
Be a baseball Hall of Famer more than the possibility of a professional basketball.
I don't think he was in a Hall of Fame for baseball either, I don't think.
Yeah, so Dick Groh.
He's both at Duke, but he would not have been at the major league
and
level.
And he's currently the announcer for Pitt basketball, but he went
90.
To Duke.
Yeah.
He went to Duke, and he was a great basketball player at Duke.
And baseball.
And baseball.
Yeah. All-American in both.
And then he went on to play for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Well, my old coach, no one knows him, but his name is Paul Birch. And he was an original Celtic, actually. But he said the best player he ever played against was Dick Groke, by far. Because we were arguing about my guys, Oscar, and so forth and so on. He said Dick Groke was a magician. So
that'd be something. Well, I do have to take this opportunity, and we can maintain this flow, but we are joined by Greg Smith, a.k.a. Smitty, and Wayne Moody, who represent the Urban Officials chapter of Western Pennsylvania, am I saying it correctly?
Pittsburgh Urban
Officials. Mm-hmm. And Rock can appreciate this, having been a player and done a little coaching in his time. The guys with the stripes, everybody loves to hate them. And generally justifiably so, at least in my coaching experience, I found good reason not to like them most of the time. But why don't Smitty give us a little background on the Pittsburgh Urban Officials now celebrating its 46th year of service?
And before you do, Smitty, I notice around your neck you actually have a whistle. So anytime Bill says something that's wrong, please feel free to blow it.
Well, I deal with some kids that hollering doesn't do too much, so you have to blow the whistle to get them to stop. So that's what came from this. I know that Bill remembers this gentleman, Ed Fleming, out of Westinghouse.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the day, we were upset because we didn't think black teams were getting the fair shake. So if you're not going to be part of the solution, you're part of the problem. So we decided to take the test, basketball test, and to form an association. And that's how we got started. People like Tom Adams, Herb Smith, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And from that, I think we've done exceedingly well. In the last 4 years in a row, we've had one or two people to referee the state championship game. This year, we had six people to referee WPIL championship games. We also had four others referee the City League championship games. So from a very small organization of 10 people, now we have 87. And I think we might have done almost 35% of the championship games this year.
That's right.
So we wanted to get in because we thought, once again, that black teams weren't getting their fair shake. And another reason that, you know, one of our founding fathers, Tim Jenkins, had always said, he didn't want to be in any game where people were bullied. He wanted to make sure that it was a fair game, that you weren't intimidated and you just played the basketball game. So part of our mantra at Pittsburgh Urban is to make sure that when we referee games, the game is controlled, there's no bullies, there's no fights, And there's none of that kind of craziness that's going on in the games.
So Pittsburgh Urban officials now celebrating 46 years, Wayne Moody, opened up a lot of doors and broke down some barriers. I mean, clearly, almost 50 years ago, I'm sure there was a limitation on opportunity to officiate. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the white populace didn't want you in, mm-hmm. probably for several reasons, because they didn't want to share the money, because they probably didn't think you were intelligent enough, mm-hmm. because they didn't think you were capable. So all those things, you guys have been fighting for all this time.
Oh, absolutely. Even back when I played, it was a pleasure to see one of our founders, Jerry Benson, come to officiate our game, because we knew we were going to get a fair shake if Jerry was there. And that built over the years. And it's one of the main reasons I became an official, because I wanted to make sure that the kids today from the inner city, when they were playing against other teams, got a fair shake. And it's important. And Killer knows that. By the way, his nickname is Killer.
Yeah.
And Killer knows this. You have to be, as an official, you have to be a sheriff on the court. You can't take any prisoners. If you show any weakness, you're not going to be a good official.
So a question for you and Rock. But let me ask, Killer, where'd you go to high school?
You won't even know. Well, you might. Rankin. Our enemy was Braddock.
Okay, you went to Rankin High, and Rock went to Shinley. And Wayne, where'd you go?
South Hills.
Okay, so for Wayne and Rock, you guys, well, you can go with that one. It's easier.
Yeah.
You guys, how much did you experience, Rock, unfair refereeing going back at least 30 years? Did you experience a lot of that, playing at Shinley and going to white environments? Was it obvious? Was it blatant?
It was blatant, more than blatant. Mm. Now, I played baseball for 19 years, which put me also all the way up to semi-pro. And I saw a referee, I saw an umpire just about 5 years ago. And he said, "You were one of the few black guys when I called that high strike or thing out of the strike zone, that you didn't give me any flack." And I said, "Because eventually that guy was going to come in and I was going to hit it." And he said, he came to me and said, "I wasn't always fair with you guys."
Admitted.
Now, this was an umpire, white umpire, who admitted to me that he wasn't always fair with the blacks. So to me, it was blatant. Even when I played basketball, you may not remember that I did play basketball, Bill. I played against the Connie Hawkins all-star team when y'all played against Whammo back when Eddie Edwards was there.
I remember that.
And I don't know if you remember me throwing down a few dunks at my size. So, Kevin, I held my own in basketball
strong,
a little bit.
Rock, that's strong.
Only thing we ever dunked was donuts.
But to your point, yeah, it was blatant. Now, maybe Mr. Moody got a different side of it.
As a City League player, you remember going off to
absolutely
areas where it was Altoona?
Absolutely.
And this and that.
Well, we don't even have to go that far. We used to always play Mount Lebanon in an exhibition game before the regular season started.
Right.
And we'd all have three fouls before the end of the first quarter. You know? It was absolutely crazy. And when our coach, Bruce Weston, said something, teched him immediately. Mm-hmm. You know, and all he asked was, "What was the call?" So that was really prevalent back then. But I'm telling you, you see it today sometimes, too.
It's not totally divorced from the game.
Right.
I maybe unfairly will go into a high school playoff game today, mm-hmm. in this day and time, and if I see a game, for example, an Alder Dice against a North Hills,
right.
and there's three white officials, I immediately question that in my mind.
Right.
And I always say this, not to go against those three guys. I'm sure they just want the job. But if I'm commissioner and I know it's going to be a black team against a white team, I would just make sure one of the officials is black.
Absolutely.
Just to at least minimize the concern about cheating. But back to the officials. So you guys.
You know, Bill, we've been on games where there's been three black officials.
Right.
And you just see how nervous they get.
Mm-hmm.
With us
sure
being
in reverse.
There you go. And they're feeling like, wow, we know we cheat. They should.
They must should cheat too.
Not must. They should cheat.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Greg Smith. That's Greg.
I'm semi-retired, so it won't hurt me.
That's S-M-I-T-H, Greg Smith. Do not look for me and Kevin on these kinds of comments. And but it does happen.
Right.
And so in that situation, Killer, you would want at least two black guys and a white guy. In other words,
right.
If I'm commissioner, it's probably not easy to do, but I would try to look out at least in playoff games to minimize that. But I think it needs to be said, Pittsburgh Urban Officials chapter not only broke barriers for black officials to get into officiating games in the mainstream, but you guys got into the upper echelon of officiating with high school playoffs and NCAA stuff, right?
I think that our ability to referee spoke volumes about what we could do. So once you got past that, they saw that we could officiate. And one thing they liked about us, I remember Timmy and I, we had a game between Upper St. Clair and Mount Lebanon. Maybe I shouldn't be tossing out names. And the principal came to us and said, you know, this is going to be a rough game. And Timmy, and Bill knows Timmy, how arrogant
tough.
He could be,
tough.
Ain't no tough game for us. We'll put a stop to this immediately. Mm-hmm. And after we refereed that particular Upper St. Clair game, the next 3 years in a row, we got the same game.
Right.
Ask for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it speaks to certainly a level of accomplishment and achievement when the leadership of your chapter, the Tim Jenkins and the Ray Mortons and the mm-hmm. Rich Allsberries and the Greg Smiths and the guys that led the charge on mm-hmm. this for so many years, for all the things that you accomplished and are recognized for, we don't know about all the bad stuff that went on,
mm-hmm.
all the N-words that were offered to you on all the court
right.
and stuff
all
thrown right. at you coming and going and insults. And
mm-hmm.
Lord knows we insult referees naturally anyway.
All right.
So when you add the abusive stuff to it, that, you know that was coming. How tough was it over the years?
Oh, it was really tough, but I had one philosophy. You can call me anything that you want. You can say anything you want from the stands. But if you step on that court and step to me, now we're going to have to see how tough you really are.
Right, right,
you know,
right.
I mean, it's man on man then. And that's the most important thing about officiating, too. Being a man, controlling the game. When you control the game, a coach might say something once, you give him the look. If he says something twice, I'm calling my time. I'm going over and explain to him, look. I'm not going to have you referee and coach the game.
Mm-hmm.
You coach your players, I'll referee the game. Next time that I hear you or you jump up, I'm banging you. And that's it. The next word out the coach's mouth is a technical. Bang. You know, because you have to stand by what you say.
Yeah.
And that's how you control the game.
If you're going to talk to a coach, you never give him a tech when you talk to him.
Right.
You step off. Now, the next play might be 10 seconds, and then you give him a tech.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to ever make it look like you initiated that.
Right. So tricks of the trade.
Right.
Certain things you learn a lot of way to make it better for everybody.
Right.
Understandably. Well, we had a couple running jokes. I was with the Pittsburgh Urban Officials had their annual banquet the other night, and I had the privilege of speaking there, and I reminded everybody that Big John Kinsel, who was a great basketball player at Fifth Avenue at 6'7", 350 pounds. I think he was born 6'7", 350 pounds. I'm pretty sure because he was always that big for as long as I've known him. And I knew him forever. But after his playing days, he became an official. One night in the Connie Hawkins League down at Champions Park in East Liberty, I had the great Larry Harris on my team and the all-time leading scorer at Pitt, who, by the way, Rock, uniform is not retired. It's amazing to me how Larry Harris
right.
and Clyde Vaughn, the number one and two scorers in the school's history, mm-hmm. their shirts are not retired. How Sam Clancy's shirt is not retired.
You know why,
the most physically dominant person in the history of the school.
Right.
How Jennifer Bruce's right. shirt is not retired. Those things amaze me, but that's not the point. But go ahead, Kev.
You have to donate more money.
No, that ain't going
to
get it done.
You have to donate more money.
That's what they're waiting on.
Maybe they'll listen to you.
Well, to be honest with you, that does matter.
It does matter.
That does matter. But I'm not able to change the tide in that regard. But mm-hmm. how is the all-time leading scorer at a major Division I institution's
right.
shirt not retired?
You know, an FBI gentleman that used to be in our chapter, Jimmy Taylor,
yeah.
made a profound statement. They don't even think about it. That's how
it says a lot.
That's how insignificant
it would explain the ignorance.
They don't would explain even the think ignorance. About it.
But the other thing I wanted to offer, Wayne, is that all the tricks of the trade and learning this and learning that. But the other part of it too is that aside from opening doors, you guys opened up opportunities. I mean, I think it's safe to say without giving figures to anybody, I mean, there's a considerable amount of money that can be earned as an official that helps young guys coming along with young families and being able to make that extra money, having the influence. Officials are like teachers, in a matter of speaking. You're looked upon as somebody to look up to. So I'm sure that you guys had much more to contribute throughout the course of your time.
Well, I was blessed to officiate in the Big East. Girls, not boys, girls. And I made enough money to take our family to Disneyland. I had two daughters and a wife. And while I was doing whatever I was doing, they were at Disneyland. I think at that time, the salaries for each game was $400.
Mm-hmm.
That's not counting $100 per diem. And if you drove, I think it was 17, 18 cent a mile. So, you know, I can only imagine what the people are making now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's considerable. And I did, as we go to break, but go ahead, Wayne, you wanted to offer something?
Well, no, absolutely. I want to piggyback on what Killer just said. Not only did we bring up younger officials, we also take care of the community. During Thanksgiving and Christmas this year, we fed families that couldn't afford to have a Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's one of the most important things about what we did, our legacy. We were able to give back. You know, we're lucky. We're very fortunate. We've had great careers officiating. We made a lot of money, and we're able to give back to the community. To me, that's the number one thing.
And that is important. And when you talk about those kinds of commitments to community, it ripples, because I know, you know, you guys come to our basketball camp and referee our games. You donate your time for that, so I'm sure you do that across the board a lot too. So it is appreciated, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. We're going to come back and finish up this NBA conversation, and I'll finish off that John Kinsel story, and then we're going to, while we have these officials here, talk about a few rules of the games. So we'll be right back momentarily with Soul Take Champions Live.
In your hand, you have $19.99. What could you do with that? You can fill up your gas tank, stop by a local coffee shop. You may need to add a little bit more to that. Maybe a matinee ticket to the movies. Matinee, though. What about subscribing to UrbanMediaToday.com? No, think about it. For just $19.99, you'll receive exclusive podcasts, interviews, entertainment updates, sports reports, and more. A VIP subscription to Urban Media Today is more than just a magazine subscription. It's access to the urban lifestyle. UrbanMediaToday.com is your only source for HBCU sports. Plus, you have direct access to awesome prizes like gift cards, swag, concert tickets, and your $19.99 supports another minority-owned business. That's pretty cool, right? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com right now and subscribe for just $19.99 a year. Not a month, not a week, but a year. You've always wanted to be a VIP, right? Well, here's your chance. Subscribe today for just $19.99 at UrbanMediaToday.com. You can thank us later.